Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store. This weekend's message is from Tyler McKenzie. He's the lead pastor here at Northeast.
Well, yeah, attention all women, ladies in the room, attention all ladies, bloomconference.org, bloomconference.org, bloomconference.org. It's coming up in about a month, September 14, 15. Oh, so here's the cool thing about our women's conference. For 4 years now, we've been running it. We've only branded it the Bloom Conference the last 2 years, and that's because we felt like we needed to, because it was just growing. Like, it was getting out of control in all the right ways. First year we did it, there's about 100 women showed up. Next year, double that. Last year, double, almost triple that. And women started coming from like all across the city and all across the region in order to be with the women of our church. And it's just become this invaluable growth experience and a great way to meet other women in our church and get in community. So I would encourage you, ladies, carve this time out in your schedule. You won't be sorry. Jo Saxon's going to be there. Holy cow, she's amazing. So a little bit about her. She was born to Nigerian parents, lived a lot of her life in London, but does a lot of church work in America. So she's got this amazing multicultural perspective, and she is a fantastic preacher. So you're going to want to be here to check out what she's got to say. So bloomconference.org. Do it, ladies. Sign up now. Go for it. Now, guys, here's what you can do to help. Today, after church is over with, when you're at the Mexican restaurant eating chips and salsa with your honey, I want you to look at her and say, baby, on September 14, 15, when bloomconference.org goes down, I got the kids. Okay, this is the obstacle, all right? The kids are the obstacle. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. For many of you in there, the kids are the obstacle, all right? So just look at her and say, honey, I'll take care of the kids this weekend. Look, guys, you do not want to get in Jesus' way. And more importantly, you don't want to put your kids in Jesus' way, all right? If I had to give you one piece of advice in life, it's this: stay out of Jesus' way, all right? So just jump in there, take the kids for your wife that weekend, make sure that they get an opportunity to do this because they will come back a better woman because of it. Bloomconference.org, September 14th and 15th. All right, with that said, down to business today. I get to continue part two of a five-week vision sermon series that we've kicked off here at Northeast called Move. And like, so I don't know if you guys remember, but about a month leading into this series when we started promoting it, I asked you to do something that I've never asked in my 6 years here as a pastor. I asked everybody who calls Northeast their church home to commit to mandatory attendance over the course of the 5 weeks. If you can be in the room, great. If you can't, join our online audience. That's awesome too. But I wanted you here. And here's why. Because here at the church, we have some big, bold, courageous, $100,000, 100,000 people, 100,000 mile, 100,000 step dreams for the future. But we realize that we will never get there without you, unless we do this together. You see, you want to know what the biggest threat is to our future and our dreams as a church? That would be you and me, you and me. Because we are in that dream. We are a part of that future. And I can tell you this for an absolute fact. Our dreams as a church will only become as concrete as we are committed. And so we're asking you to commit. I mean, you want to know the only way that you can materialize a 100,000 step dream? It's pretty simple. By taking 100,000 steps. There's no shortcut. There's just a first step, and then the next step, and the next step, and the next step after that. And so over these 5 weeks, we're just unapologetically challenging and asking you who are part of this church family to step with us. Create the future here. And let's grab what God has in store for us. Turn it into a reality. Now, okay, so here's what's so backwards, though, about how we're doing this. All right, a lot of times when, like, a church or any leader stands up and gives a vision talk, what they'll do is they'll start with the vision for the future, and then you'll determine the strategies, right? They'll paint the future. They'll say, this is where we're going, and this is where we're going, and this is what they want to do, and then they'll give you the strategies. Now, for us, it's backwards. Okay, I'm not going to paint a vision for the future of where Northeast is heading in this sermon series. In fact, instead, I'm actually going to give you the strategies to get there. Okay, so here's why. First, we don't really know what God has in store for our future, do we? Only God knows. Only God knows. He's proven this in my life and your life so many times, if we're honest. Want to hear God laugh? Tell him your plans, right? Only he knows the future. 40 years ago, when Bob and Vicky Cherry planted Northeast Christian Church and Zachary Taylor Elementary School, and 70 people showed up, and then on the second week, Bob preached it down to only 20. Do you think on week two, they had any idea that this is what it would look like someday? Of course not. This dream right here was beyond their imagination, but God knew. 4 years ago, when we started Love the Ville with a serve day, did any of us have any idea it would explode into what is exploded into? I certainly didn't. It was beyond my imagination, but God knew, right? Like, only God knows where we're going. So, okay, the point of this series is not to paint the future. Here's what else I would say to you. I would say to you that no matter what God's future is for us, it doesn't really change our strategies to get there. You see, for the church and the Christian that attends the church, they understand that while we may or may not know God's future, the path, the steps, the direction doesn't change in order for us to actualize it in the present. See, now, again, this is so backwards because some of you guys, you live in this organizational context. You're the leader of your business, and so you're used to creating these strategic planning cycles where you paint the picture of the future and then you develop strategies to get there. Future strategies. But it's not a bad thing at work. I'm just saying that's not how we operate at church. See, here at Northeast, we do not believe that strategy leads to success. We believe that Jesus leads to success. Or maybe I can say it to you like this. Following Jesus is our strategy. See, while we may not know God's future for us, we do know the path to get there. We're certain of it. And that is the path right behind Jesus. Creating a better future, God's future here, is as simple as following Jesus. The way to the future isn't a plan to run. It's a path to walk. And the only way to walk this path is one step at a time behind Jesus. And so I want to ask you in this series, Northeast folks, just walk that with us. Walk that with us. Walk that path with us. Now, if you were to ask me, well, Tyler, what does it look like to follow Jesus? I believe I could summarize that for you in three values. Basically, everything Jesus asks his followers to do can be summed up in three things. Generosity, one. Servanthood, two. And community, three. If you roll out of bed every day and you step into these things on Jesus' terms, what you'll find is that you'll be walking not too far behind Jesus every single day. One, two, and three. So I want to challenge you with these. Now, last week we talked about generosity, and some of you are like, glad I missed that one. Well, look, if this is your church home, you need to go back and listen to it because it's important for you to hear. Now, today I want to talk about our bread and butter as a church, though. And that's servanthood. Servanthood. And over the last 4 years, we have affectionately called our drive towards servanthood here, Love the Ville. You can't come on our campus for more than about 2 seconds without hearing somebody talk about it or seeing it on someone's shirt or seeing it on the wall out there. It is who we are as a church. Okay, if you're new here, let me be really, really clear. Love the Ville isn't just some serve projects we do out in the city. It is that. That's undoubtedly a manifestation of Love the Ville. But Love the Ville is so much more than servanthood out there. It's also servanthood in here. It's also the servant-mindedness that you take into the home with your family, into the workplace with your coworkers, into the community with your friends. Okay, Love the Ville isn't a serve day for us anymore. It's a serve DNA. It's a lifestyle, the Love the Ville lifestyle that says every day, everybody, everywhere, I'm gonna love them like Jesus loved me. That's what we're about here. Now, some folks have a hard time wrapping their minds around that though, so I wanna explain to you from the very foundational level our Love the Ville theology. It all starts with Jesus here. Everything we do starts with Jesus here. You've probably seen the light bulb wall out there in the lobby. Jesus is why. That's where we start. Jesus is why we do what we do. Now, as Jesus followers, we believe we have really two responsibilities. We have an evangelism responsibility to introduce others to Jesus, and we have a discipleship responsibility to grow to become more like Jesus. And that's why Love the Ville is so critical, because we believe Love the Ville is the most effective strategy to accomplish both the evangelism and discipleship responsibilities that we have. Or maybe I could say it to you like this. If you want others to look at Jesus, then serve them, and they'll have no choice. And if you personally want to look more like Jesus, then serve, and you'll become more like Jesus. I mean, did Jesus not say, I have come not to be served, but to serve? All right, let me break both of these down, okay? First, if you want others to look at Jesus, then I would suggest you serve him. It's the most effective way to introduce folks to Jesus. Jesus said it like this, John chapter 13, verse 35. He says, your love for one another will prove, it'll serve as witness, testimony, evidence to the world of who you are and whose you are, and that is mine, that you are my disciples. It's effective, right? It's proof. Now, not only is it the most effective form of evangelism, I also believe it's the easiest and most accessible form of evangelism. Because every day, every single one of you who calls yourself a Jesus follower can roll out of bed and serve someone. Can you not? It's evangelism for everyone. I once heard a pastor stand on stage and say, you know, only 10% of your congregation is gifted with the gift of evangelism. Plan accordingly. And when he said that, I thought to myself, huh, I didn't know it was optional for the other 90%. Because it's not optional for the other 90%. We've got to be better than that. Now, anytime I say the word evangelism, though, I can kind of watch the audience and people start twitching, right? Because evangelism has become kind of this dirty word in church today, you know? And that's because when most people hear the word evangelism, they think of evangelizing, you know, people. You know what I'm saying? Like going out and saying, hey, do you know where you're going when you die? Because hell's hot. I once had a friend and he almost accepted Jesus, but he didn't accept Jesus. And he got in the car, and on the car ride on the way home, he died. And we don't know where he is today. Do you know where you're going? Can you smell the sulfur? Like sit, repent or dissent, turn or burn. I got all the lines down. All right. Now check this out. That is not our preferred approach here at the church for a few reasons. One, it's weird. Two, it's an approach that's driven by emotion and guilt. That's guilting people to Jesus. And can I just tell you, when I look at the life of Jesus, he didn't scare the hell into people. He loved the hell out of people, quite literally. Now, third, here's why else I don't use this approach. I don't think it works. It's terribly ineffective in our culture today. See, I've gotten the opportunity in my young life to lead a lot of my friends to Jesus. And never once was it through that method. Right there. In fact, you know what the issue is for a lot of my friends who aren't Christians, who don't come to church? It's not that they don't know about Jesus. They know about Jesus. They're Americans. They've heard of him. They've heard the Jesus story. In fact, many of them grew up in church and they don't go to church anymore. So they don't need to be told who Jesus is. They don't need to hear another sermon. What they need to do is see that Jesus actually has the power to change somebody's life. So that's why our policy here in Northeast is this. Talk is cheap. It's cheap until you prove that you walk your talk. So we walk the walk before we talk the talk. In fact, I would say it to you like this. We always walk the walk. And then we only talk the talk when the opportunity is right. A researcher recently published some research findings on the church. Spent most of his adult life studying church, and his analysis is so good, is so spot on. I just wanted to share it with you today because it gets at the heart of us. This is what he wrote. He said, our research indicates that there is a highly significant relationship between the ability of a church to demonstrate love and its long-term growth potential. Growing churches possess, on average, a measurably higher love quotient, I love that, than stagnant or declining churches. Unfeigned practical love has a divinely generated magnetic power, far more effective than evangelistic programs which depend almost entirely on verbal communication. People do not want to hear us talk about love. They want to experience how Christian love really works. And I couldn't agree more. So if you want people to look at Jesus, start by serving them, and they'll have no choice. Now, second, if you personally want to look more like Jesus, I would encourage you, start with servanthood. It's the most effective and it's the most available evangelism strategy. Every day you can roll out of bed and serve, right? Now, here's what's so interesting about this. I have found that this right here, our servanthood obsession, is the biggest problem that church people, not unchurched people, but church people have with our church. I've had people come up to me before and they've said to me, you know, Tyler, I love Northeast's heart and all, but you guys just aren't very deep because all you ever talk about and do is serve and love. Now, I had a really hard time wrapping my mind around that. I'm not really sure what they mean when they say that. Maybe what they mean is that they wish we had more Bible studies than partner schools or outreach initiatives, which was funny that we have both. But we actually had somebody leave our church before. And you know what they said to me? Yeah, I can't really be a part of a Love the Ville church because you're just not that deep. All you guys ever talk about or do is love and serve. Now, before I get angry, let me just step back and allow Jesus to speak into the matter. Because I believe he speaks very clearly on this. The red letters of the Gospels here. We'll start with Mark 10, verse 45. Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man," that would be him, right? "So for even I came not to be served, but to," what's that word? Say again. A little louder for those in the back. "That would be serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many." John 13:34. "So now I'm giving you a new commandment, disciples. Love each other." And that word love means active servanthood. "Just as I have loved you, you should love each other." Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower," what do we got to do to be your follower, Jesus? I'll tell you. "If anyone wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross," which has come to be the symbol of self-sacrificial servanthood for the Christian, "and follow me." Follow me, follow me. John 13, verse 14. "Since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet." By the way, washing feet back then was the bottom of the org chart, nastiest, dirtiest job of the day. And Jesus said, "Since I washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Now do as I have done to you." Luke 6:35. "Love your enemies," Jesus said. "Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. And in that moment, you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he's kind to those who are unthankful, and he's kind to those who are wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your heavenly Father is compassionate." Matthew 25:40, Jesus said, "And the king," that's Jesus, "will say on judgment day, I tell you the truth, when you served one of the least of these, my brothers and my sisters, you were actually doing it for me." Matthew 22:37, "Love your neighbor." Love your neighbor. Okay, so a scribe came up to Jesus and he said, "Hey, look, what's the greatest commandment in all the law?" And Jesus said, "I'll tell you. First, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." That's the first one. But the second one's equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two. Last one for you. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. Jesus said to his disciples, "You know that the rulers in this world lord their power over people, and officials flaunt their authority over those underneath them. But among you," who's you, Jesus? That would be you, y'all, all y'all. Among you, it would be different. "Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant." Now, I could go on. There are plenty more red letters where Jesus speaks very clearly about this, but let's just suffice it to say this. Jesus asks us to serve. And so let me ask you, is there anything deeper than just doing what Jesus told us to do? You see, maybe if you're not growing as a servant, maybe, just maybe, you're the one who's not very deep. But I said I wouldn't get angry. So, summary. You want to look more like Jesus, serve. Now, there is a weakness to servanthood. And I actually believe it's his greatest strength. But a lot of times, your greatest weakness can be found in your greatest strength. You know what the big weakness of it is? The big weakness of servanthood is its simplicity. It's just so simple. A lot of times, it's just expressed in everyday, normal ways to the people God's put in your life. Simple. And for me, I don't know. I have my doubts. Sometimes I think to myself, is there really meaning in this? Is there meaning in the mundane? Is there significance in the simple? Do small things done in great love really change the world? Perfect example for you. 2 weeks ago, we had our big school blitz, 2,100 people. Went out to 33 different campuses all over our community. And I'm just going to be real with you. I know I'm the pastor of the Love the Ville Church, but I just can't be honest with you. As we were leading into the school blitz, I had this doubt come across my mind. I thought to myself, is this really the best use of 5,000 plus hours of the sweat equity of our church? Is there meaning in the mulch? Is there really purpose in painting a parking lot? But then anytime those doubts cross my mind, Jesus always wakes me up. And I get an opportunity to hear stories. The stories of how your simple service is so significant. Immediately after school blitz was over this year, I went to the hospital to visit one of my friends. He loves the fact that he's a part of the Love the Ville Church. And he was heartbroken that he couldn't participate in school blitz this year. So I went and I was giving him a report on everything. And he was like, you know what my favorite school blitz moment was? Last year. I was serving at Bowen Elementary, and during the day, the principal came out, and she grabbed me and a couple other of our people, and she said, hey, can you help me with a project that's not on the list? Well, immediately, we dropped everything, and we're like, sure. And we went back to a classroom that was completely a mess, just in total disarray. And the principal went on to explain to us that the teacher in that classroom had recently lost her son to suicide. And she just hadn't had the time to get in there and straighten things up. And man, it would be a big help if we could do that for her. And so, of course, we did. We made that classroom cleaner than it's ever been before. And my buddy told me, he said, I know the principal at Bowen. I know the administrators there. And to this day, they still have not forgotten that. And I bet the teacher hasn't forgotten that either. So, church, you know what that proves to me? Proves to me that the simple is significant. So keep believing that and never quit doing that. A few months ago, I got to present on servanthood to one of the most influential organizations in our community. Their headquarters are here in town. And after the presentation was over with, a lady came up to me on the staff with a tear in her eyes. And she said, I know the Love the Ville Church. Said, really, explain. And she said, well, last year my house burnt down. And so later that night, I was in the liquor store, obviously, right? And she said, I ran into one of the people from your church in the liquor store. And anyways, she said that that person came up to me and they said to me, hey, I'm your neighbor. And I saw what happened to your house. And I just want you to know as you work your way through this tough time, we're here to help. And then she gave me this huge list of all the ways that her neighbor came to her aid and helped her. And this is what she said to me. She said, I do not know if I would have made it through that dark season without the Love the Ville Church. Now, church, there is a woman alive today in this city and thankful for the local church because somebody actually believed that small things done in great love really do change the world, and they do. So church, can I just encourage you, keep believing that, keep believing that, keep believing that, and never quit doing it. 3 weeks ago, I got to preach at another church in our city on the South End, and it's interesting, I was talking about Love the Ville in the sermon, and after the sermon was over with, I got a message from one of the guys in the audience that day. I want to share with you what he wrote me. He said, I know the Love the Ville Church. He said, I wanted to tell you that we were on the receiving end of Northeast's Love the Ville Christmas list last year. I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in November, and a small group at your church bought presents for our family. It was such a huge help. Now, at the time, my wife and I were hesitant to accept such a big gift, but I'm not sure what we'd have done without it. It was a blessing. They did all the shopping, all the wrapping, then they dropped the presents off on Christmas Eve. And I just want you to know that your church is doing great things. And even better news, after surgery and 12 rounds of chemo, I'm cancer-free. Thank you. Now, here's the interesting thing about that story, though, church. We do not have an official Northeast Christian Church Love the Ville Christmas list. We don't. No, just some amazing small group in our church who gets it added this family in need to their Christmas list. And because of that, a dad got to give his kids Christmas, and a family is plugged into a healthy local church, the south end of our city. So church, can I just tell you, the simple is significant. It is. So keep believing, and never quit. Maybe my favorite picture from School Blitz a couple weeks ago is this one right here. Isn't that just beautiful in so many ways? Her dad, one of my friends, posted it on Facebook, and he said, she had such a great time serving today. She worked so hard. Now, parents of young kids, you know what's out of your control? You cannot control whether or not your kids keep their faith in Jesus someday. One day they got to choose that on their own. But here's what you can control. You can control whether or not they ever question the sincerity and commitment of your faith. And you know what this is to me? This is a picture of a mom and a dad who wanted their little girl from the very beginning to see scripture translate into servanthood. Mission and method match. They wanted their little girl to see them walk the walk before they could even talk the talk to her. And I think that's significant. So church, can I just say, small things done in great love change the world. Keep believing, never quit. At last story, I'll tell you. Every year before school starts and the students get back, teachers have to go in for a couple days and get things ready, right? And during those couple days, we like to take our teachers and administrators at our partner schools either breakfast or lunch just to let them know, hey, we're praying for you. We're cheering you on. Knock it out of the park this year. Well, we were at one of our partner schools, and our school's pastor, Randy, said one of the teachers came up to him. And she said, interesting story for you. This summer, I was at a professional development workshop. And at that workshop, they challenged me to develop a model for my elementary students to impact the community this year. And as soon as they challenged me to impact the community, I thought of the Love the Ville Church. Now, when she said that, I was already like throwing a party. I'm like, Randy, that's so cool. And he said, hold on, Tyler, I'm not done. He said, she went on and she said, so here's what I've done. I've developed my entire model for my students this year around partnering with your church. I would love nothing more than to bring my elementary students over so that they can serve alongside of you guys and learn how to make a community impact. Would that be okay with you and your church? And of course, Randy said, nah, we're too busy, sorry. No, he said, yes, come on. We would love nothing more than that. Now, church, hear me now. There is meaning in the mulch. There is purpose in painting a parking lot. Small acts of great love change the world. The simple is significant. So keep believing that. Keep believing and never quit. Now, check this out. While we believe servanthood is so simple, we do believe that we have discovered over the last few years a few key ingredients to help make your serving more effective. For those of you who aren't very math-minded, hang with me here, but this is what we would call our servanthood formula. Three things. One, we've found that longer equals deeper. Longer equals deeper. I mean, like, you get the point of that, right? The longer you serve anywhere, anyone, any cause, the deeper the impact you'll make. Now, check this out, though. You know what that means, right? That means if you want to make a deep impact, then you have to carve out a long commitment. And you only have so much margin in your life for so many commitments, right? So my challenge for you would be this. Have you carved out the time for servanthood? Want to make a deep impact? Got to give it the time. Second, we've also discovered that how can I help is always greater than here's what I do. How can I help is greater than here's what I do. I'll tell you what I mean by that. A lot of folks serve, but a lot of folks serve on their own time and in their own ways. When they approach somebody who needs help, or when they approach a partner organization, they say, here's what we're going to do for you, right? And sometimes that's good, but sometimes it's not good, right? Now, at Northeast, we have found that that's the wrong way to approach someone. Rather, we start every conversation around servanthood with a question, and that's this question: how can I help? How can I help? How can I help? And then we try to listen. And we usually end up doing whatever our partner or that person says to do. Give me an example. One of my friends was meeting with her friend who was a principal. And you know what the principal said to her? Principal said, I wish churches would stop doing school supply drives for our school. Kind of caught her off guard. She's like, what do you mean? And the principal said, well, there are tons of schools out there who need school supplies. Don't get me wrong. All right, don't get me wrong. We just don't. And then she opened up a closet and showed her an entire closet full of all these school supplies they had collected from churches, some of them years old. It's packed. And then she looked at my friend and she said this, so valuable. She said, you know what I wish churches would do? I wish churches would just ask us, what do you need? What do you really need? Because I'd have a list for them. Now, church, that's how we approach our partners. In fact, this past April and May, we went to the principals at our partner schools. We said, what do you need? And they said, this fall, we don't need a school supply drive as much as we need a teacher supply drive, which we thought was a really, really brilliant idea. You guys know every year teachers have to spend $500,000 in order to get their classrooms ready out of their own pocket. And so we decided to help offset those costs. So in May, we sent out wish lists to all the teachers in our partner schools. We got 205 of those wish lists back, and then we handed them out to y'all about 5 or 6 weeks ago. You remember this? They're on the grids over there, separated in different expense categories. There were some that were pretty cheap, you know, where you could just get markers, Clorox wipes. There were some that were kind of in the middle, like one teacher needed a desk chair for a classroom. And then there were some that were really expensive. One teacher needed 20 new sets of headphones for a class. Another teacher needed an iPad. And yet, no matter the cost, you guys came through, and we were able to provide 100% of the wishes for all of our teachers and our partner schools. It's amazing, which, by the way, that's another thing that we have found works really well when it comes to servanthood. Exceed expectations every single time. Now, last week, some of our volunteers and staff got to take all these school supplies on pallets after pallet after pallet out to our partner schools, and they said when they got there, you would have thought it was Christmas at these schools because teachers were smiling. They were like dancing. They were laughing, high-fiving, hugging. Some of them broke down into tears. And then later that day, a lot of the teachers took to social media in order to thank our church. I just want to show you a few of the posts that popped up. Just a few. Look, I want you to just take this in for a second. Just take this in. Because you know what hit me when I looked at this? The public school system is inviting us in. Do you see that? Do you see that? The public school system is celebrating us. The public school system, they're not just inviting us in, they're begging us to come in. You know what I hear a lot of Christians say today? They say, we got to get God back in school. We got to get Jesus back in school because they're pushing us out. They're pushing us out. They're pushing the church out. Well, they do not speak for me and they do not speak for my church because they're not pushing us out. They're inviting us in. Oh, you want to know why? Because we serve with no agenda. No, better yet, we serve on their agenda. No strings attached, exceed expectations every time. Love. Just like Jesus did for us. Extravagant love. So, church, well done. There are very few churches in our country that can say this or point to something like this right here. Now, slight turn here. If you were to ask me today, Tyler, how can I help then? How can I help? How can I help deepen the Love the Ville spirit? Join the movement at this church. This is what I would say to you. No doubt, we need an army of people serving out in the city. But we also need an army of people serving right here on this campus. Or maybe I could say, you can love the Ville right here Two, there are people from the Ville in this room right now who have big needs. Some of them don't know Jesus. Some of them do. Some of them are learning more about Jesus and walking the path. Some of them are in a really tough spot right now. There needs to be a coherency between the love people experience out there and the love that people experience in here. So we need folks who step up and do both. I would just say, for those of you who are the first face of Jesus in the parking lot or at our front doors, for those of you who are the hands and feet of Jesus passing the offering and the communion every week, for those of you who are the mouth and the ears and the love of Jesus in our kids' environments and our student environments, raising up our kids, I would just say to you, thank you. You make our church great. And if you aren't currently in the serve game at our church, maybe that would be an amazing place for you to start. All right, last piece of the equation. We have found that impact and satisfaction is multiplied when you serve within your giftedness. I got my order of operations right, math teachers. Impact plus satisfaction is multiplied by giftedness. Now, I've found that most of us, we just want to make an impact. That's why we serve. And we want to feel the joy, the satisfaction that comes from serving well. That's a good thing. You want to know how to multiply that? Serve within your passions. Serve within your gifts. Because you'll serve better. And when you serve better, it's better for everyone. When you serve better, it's excellent. And excellence honors God, inspires others, and energizes me. So find your gifts. Or if you have a hard time finding your gifts and passions, come talk to us. We can help with that. All right, these are some great principles, but I found that an even better way to take these principles and move them from head to heart, kind of like last week, is to allow a fellow sojourner to tell his story. So turn your eyes to the screen. I want to let Steve tell you his journey to servanthood.
My wife and I came to Northeast Christian about 18 years ago, and we were looking for a church that appealed to us and what we needed with small kids. And we looked at a couple of different churches, and we settled on Northeast because it just felt like home. I was probably your typical person who comes in and sits on the back row and just kind of observes what's going on and kind of gauges people and, you know, a little reluctant to get involved, a lot reluctant to get involved, and ended up being asked to help with kids' basketball. I've always been sports-minded. It was in my wheelhouse. I thought, oh, this is fine. It was comfortable for me. I thought that this I can do this forever and everything will be good. And did that for several years, and that's how I got involved, my first step into serving. Well, one of my first experiences with Northeast was seeing the greeters at the door and just watching them and see how happy they were, the smiles on their faces made me feel welcome here. And I always thought, well, you know, that would be a good thing for me. And so my wife and I started a greeter team. It certainly carries over into your daily life, and it should, because that's where you're going to win most of the people. If you greet like that everywhere you go, that's where you're going to win the folks and at least get them in the door to share in what we see every weekend. You're being like Jesus. Jesus was on the earth to serve. I mean, let's face it. He washed the feet of the disciples at the Last Supper. And wow, that just blows me away just to think about that. So what can I do to be like him? It makes you put aside your issues and think about others' issues. And that's a big deal for me. If you're sitting on the back row like I was when I first came to church here, you need to get up out of your seat and not wait any longer. There are folks that need you to get out of your seat. The biggest thing, I think, is it increases your faith because you've got a front row seat, whatever you're doing, wherever you're serving, to see God change lives. And I've seen it over and over and over again. And if that doesn't increase somebody's faith to know that he's there and he's changing lives, nothing else will.
Thanks, Steve. So I'd ask you to consider three things today. Three things. Maybe you choose one. First, if you've never served before, I'd ask you to consider level one serving. That's an initial serving, we call it here. Serve at a one-time, low-commitment event. We've got lots of them, amazing ones, things like School Blitz, our Christmas Eve services, our conferences coming up, the Clifton Blitz, Love the Ville Eve Party. And you can dip your toe into the water of servanthood, kind of check it out. For those of you who have done that before but have never really gotten on a regular serve team, I would consider you to check out level two, consistent serving, which you can join a team or a partner here with a regular serving schedule for a trial period. Basically, you can try it before you buy it. We'll go on a few dates together, right? We'll get you in a serve team or in a partner that you think you might fit in, and you can learn what it looks like to serve there. And, you know, if you fit in, great. If you don't, then we can help you find somewhere else to plug in, right? Now, third, for those of you who are really feeling like God's, you know, nudging you today, I would ask you to consider intentional serving. And this isn't a try it before you buy it thing. This is an annual commitment to one of our teams here on campus or partners out in the city. That's saying for the next 365 days, what you need, I'm in. And look, again, if you want to make a deeper impact, it takes a longer commitment, and this is the longer commitment. All right, now here's what I'd really ask you to do, okay? This is the ask behind the ask. For many of you in this room today, I don't actually want you to sign up to serve after this. I just spent 30 minutes talking about serving. No, I actually don't really want you to do that. Here's what I want you to do. If you find yourself maybe on like the level one or level two place, that some of you know exactly what you need to do, good, go do it. But others of you, you're like, oh, I'm not sure, maybe level one, level two. This is what I want you to do. I want you today to sign up for a new conversation we're starting here at Northeast called the B conversation. You're going to hear a lot about it because it articulates what it looks like to belong and engage here. If you're new here and you want to know more about serving, this conversation is for you. If you want to know a little bit more about how to figure out where you're gifted, this conversation is for you. If you want to see the whole Northeast Serve menu and figure out how to plug in, this conversation is for you. If you've tried to serve here before and you bounced, right, and you're like, you want to get back in, this conversation is for you. Basically, it's a one-hour small group environment where you get across the table with a few other people from our church from one of our pastors. And you get to find out everything you want to know about servanthood and beyond. And I promise you this, you'll come out of that conversation with a plan to move forward behind Jesus. So sign up for it today. Actually, these cards on your way out, the grids, people will have them at the doors. They've got all the levels on one side, and they've got the dates for the B conversation on the other side. And check this out. The B conversation is actually during church service. So guess what? I hereby give you permission to skip the sermon and go to the B conversation if you need to go to the B conversation. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you are forgiven, pardoned, all right? And here's why. Because I would rather have you go through this and get engaged than sit in the seat for another week. So sign up. They start next week, 5 p.m. Saturday night, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. here. Closing word, Northeast Christian Church. Every single week, thousands of people experience the love of Jesus in our church, in our city, and in our world every single week. Some of them are people that you know and love, like your kids, like your husband and wife, your son and daughter, brother and sister, like the teachers and principals in your school or the neighbor down the street. But some of them you don't know. Some of them you'll never know because they're the homeless man downtown. They're the young woman trying to break the chains of her exploitative relationship. They're the starving kid in the developing world. But it doesn't matter if you know them or not, because every human being is deserving and worthy of experiencing the love of Jesus. And so we love. And our span of care and love is so huge at this church. But Northeast Christian Church, hear me now. That did not happen by accident. We have not become the Love the Ville Church by chance. No, it is only because every single week, hundreds upon thousands of people step up and they serve the heart and the hopes and the dreams of our compassionate Jesus-looking church. So thank you so much for those of you who have served in the past. We have achieved the unimaginable, but we have even bigger dreams in the future. And you want to know the only way to materialize a 100,000-step dream? By taking 100,000 steps. There's no shortcut, just the first step and the next step. So I welcome you to take those steps today into servanthood with us. All right, no closing prayer or anything today, just the following benediction. On your mark, get set, go love the Ville well. And pick up one of these right here on the way out and sign up for the Be Conversation. I love my church. Y'all have a good one.